Okay, Lord, we just thank you for this new baby, Abigail. We ask, Lord, that you bless that baby and mama and daddy and big sis, big time. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for a great, wonderful, beautiful birth, a beautiful baby. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in David and Lena's family there. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to be leading the whole family. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We bless Abigail with all the blessings of heaven. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you've given her a spirit of peace and love. And we just thank you, Lord, that she just looks like Jesus all the time. And we praise you for it, Father. Lord, we just thank you that tonight you're going to lead us and guide us into the things that you want us to talk about. And that your Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide us all the way to where you want us to go, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to reveal your glory upon all of us, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit so much so that there ain't nothing left but you, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I praise you, Father, and ask you bless everybody that's on tonight and that's listening. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. You be our guide, Lord. We got our eyes on you. We got our hearts with you. And we thank you, Lord, that you're in us and going to guide us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request?
Michael?
Yes.
I just looked up the name Abigail. It means my father's joy. My father's joy, or the father is exalted. I think that's a neat name.
Yeah. You remember my great-granddaughter, don't you, Abigail? Yeah. I knew that. That's an awesome name. I like it. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a prayer request for tonight? Hi, Judy. Hi, Pat. David. Gano. It's fancy seeing you here, Gano. I hadn't seen you in such a long time. All right. Hi, Benita. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, guys. So, I've been talking to Isaac a lot, and we've been praying and believing. I just pray that you all can be in agreement with me, basically. I'm trying to think, how do I say this? Because I don't want to claim anything, but I guess that the curse or whatever, COVID, has been trying to come on me and Morgan, and I rebuke that in Jesus' name, and I've been fighting it for the past week and a half here, and I right now at this time, like, I don't know. Thank you, Jesus, that I do have, that I can taste and that I can smell. And I just want you all to be in agreement with me and Morgan that we can taste and that we can smell things. And I've been believing all day, and been believing all week, and being careful about what I say. And I've been praying, like, Lord, show me, you know, what it is in my life that you want me to get rid of. And so I've had, over the weekend, I had like 4 dreams back to back to back to back. And each one was something different that the Lord was showing me. And some of them were things I didn't even notice that I had. And, anyways, I, you know, and then that Sunday morning, I woke up and I opened up my Bible, and he gave me, I should know it off the top of my head, but it was something in John, and it was about him being, you know, how he is the vine. And anyways, I was reading that, and I was claiming his promises, and it says, be it done unto you according to your faith. And so I've been going to work, and I've been trusting the Lord, and you know, I know his promises are real, and I'm not bound by this curse. And I was thinking about, and God blessed me on my way to work. I was listening to a podcast from David, and it was talking about, you know, the endurance of your faith and the endurance in the trial. And I was thinking about, you know, how the Lord has me going through this, and I just got to keep enduring and keep believing. And same for Morgan. And Morgan, actually, today he got sent home from work, and he didn't even say anything. He went in, and they were looking at him. They're like, you need to go home. And he was like, I'm fine to work, but he had to go home anyways. They sent him home, and they told him to get a test done, but he said no. Or he was like, I'm not going to do it. I don't need one, you know, because we already know the results. We're healed. So, anyways, and, you know, of course, like, you can get pay for that or whatever, but it doesn't matter, because we're not claiming the curse. We're going to believe, and he's going to show up to work tomorrow. So, I want you all to be in agreement. I guess right now, more than anything, you know, I want our taste and our smell back in Jesus' name. So if you all can believe with me for that.
Amen. We believe with you. Now listen, when we pray for you, you're going to get it all back. By in this time in the morning, you're going to have it. You and Morgan both are going to have it probably before then. You're going to have your smell. You're going to have your taster and your smeller back to normal. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this spirit of infirmity off of both of them, Morgan and Geneva. I command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you go from them right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke you and command you by the power and blood of Jesus to leave their body. Take all your symptoms with you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you right now. It's gone in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for healing, delivering, and setting free what the enemy has tried to put on them in Jesus' name. And when he gets up in the morning, all symptoms will be gone. And probably before they go to bed tonight. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. It's done. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the power of the Almighty God upon your life right now. Thank you, Lord. Whew. My. Go ahead, Judy.
Just want to add on to that, just something. In the name of Jesus, we command all spirits of doubt, unbelief, double-mindedness to go from that house.
Amen.
You are gagged and bound. You're not returning in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you give them bold faith, both of them. And just to rest in you that you have already taken care of this at the cross. Amen. It is finished. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that passes all understanding, guarding both their hearts and their minds in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for bringing back to their remembrance, Lord, all the promises, everything we prayed, just stand in agreement, and you take care of it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, Greg?
Yeah, I'll add to it, too. And Lord, you know, let me just bless you and well, as best I can, Lord. But this particular thing that's buzzing around, I just want to address that we bring our shields of faith and lock them with Geneva and their family. And any hesitancy or doubt they have, we bring our belief with that. And you're not attacking one, you're attacking us all, and you don't stand a chance. Hang on.
Amen.
Yeah, amen, that'll do. It's Jesus, Lord, you take care of the rest.
Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anybody else want to pray for Geneva Morgan? We got it. Okay. It's done, girl.
Amen.
Hell, Morgan, he's healed.
You're healed, Morgan.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to ask for prayer for Barry, who is the security guard. he came back today, and I was talking to him, and he is the one that that they diagnosed with. Well, he said he's had colitis for the last 20 years or so. So, and he was, you know, worried at the time or whatever. So he went in. He again asked us for prayer, and he thanked us for praying for him. And because I told him the next day that we had brought him into prayer. And then and he thanked me for it, and he said that they tested him and that they had suspected that he was going to have cancer through the process, but it came up negative, and he doesn't have cancer. So number one, praise the Lord. But
thank you, Lord.
When I talked to him, I told him that we had been praying for him. I said, we're still praying for him. I told him we're believing for healing for him. And then I asked him if I could ask him a question. He said, sure. And so I said, it came up in the prayer meeting as we were praying for you that if you had unforgiveness in your heart for anyone who might have offended you in your life. And he looked at me, and he looked at me with that look that you know you get when a big light goes off in somebody's head and they go, boom. He said, you know, I never thought about that. I said, well, why don't you ask the Lord? And I said, I gave him the scripture that, you know, that if we hold unforgiveness in our heart for somebody, the Lord wants us to turn from that and forgive everyone from the heart. And if we don't forgive, he's going to motivate us by sending a tormentor into our life to help motivate us to think about it and change ourselves. So I said, you know, we want to make sure that we're cooperating with the Lord in every way in this healing. And so I just asked him if he would, you know, ask the Lord about it and take a look at it. And again, he just, you know, he thanked me, said, I just never thought about that. I'll have to take that to the Lord or whatever. So my prayer tonight is that he, in fact, will take that to the Lord, and the Lord will show him any area in his life that he needs to repent and he needs to confess. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in Barry. I thank you that you, Lord, he has faithfully talks to everybody that comes in that back door about you. And I'm quite surprised, really, I guess, in this giant conglomerate of a company. I would think that in our day and age and the environment we're in, that things would roll downhill in opposition against that. But he seems to smooth right through that process. So I'm not quite sure how he gets through that, but I praise you, Lord, and because you're showing me some things in that, just to be more free and more bold, and just to release myself from any kind of fear or intimidation that this environment should present. I cast it down. I certainly don't want to be praying for myself in this situation, but I take the opportunity to cast it down right now and put it under my foot as well. And so I thank you for this, Lord, but I'm just praying that you would turn on that light in Barry and just point him to the direction that he needs to seek, that he needs to seek you, that he needs to touch base in his life. And Lord, just enlighten him and show him the joy and the freedom of confessing his sin and just forgiving those that have offended him. And if he needs to go to others that he has offended, Lord, just set him free. Set him free just to clear his conscience before you and his conscience before his fellow man, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Just guide him into that truth, and we just trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for working old Bear's heart, bringing him deeper into you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Dominique, go ahead, brother.
Hey, so I was, my friend Regilia, she is a sister in Christ. She kind of drifted away from our group for a little while because she struggles with depression and stuff like that. And she drifted away and then ended up getting a boyfriend. Well, her boyfriend broke up with her, and then she was not feeling well. So her parents made her get the COVID test, and she tested positive, which I don't believe, but that's what happened. And I think this is also a perfect time for her to recenter with God, because she works two jobs. She overworks herself and purposely does it so she doesn't like have time to think. So I just wanted to lift her up in prayer with you guys, because you guys are awesome prayer warriors and everything. I think it would be good for her to, you know, I think she needs some prayer, and you know, she's definitely turning back to the group, and she acknowledges that this can be used as a good thing. I don't believe that she's sick, and I command the sickness to go in Jesus' name. I believe that this is just a perfect opportunity for her to recenter, get a little bit of time off, and focus more on the Lord. So Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. I just thank you for this and praise you that she has time for you, Lord. I just ask that you give her that heart to learn more about you, Lord, and that everything that's going on in her life right now is just going to recenter her focus on you and give her this fire in her heart to reach out to you, Lord. Maybe she'd be interested in learning more about UVM, Lord, so that she could feel the power that they have through you, of course, Father. So I just thank you for these things, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we agree with Dominique that it is already done in Jesus' name. What's her name, Dominique?
It's Regilia, R-A-J-I-L-L-Y-A.
Okay. All right, Lord, we lift her up, and we thank you, Lord, as you're doing a work in her, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? Got a prayer request, praise report, testimony. Glory to God. Go ahead, Dave. I'll get you right to you, Missy. He beat you. He beat you to the buzzer.
Yeah, I'm going to pray for some people at work. This is going to be a difficult time for a few people tomorrow. There's a young man that committed suicide today. He was in his early 30s and where I work in the maintenance department. So nobody really knows the story behind it, but it was just given to us. So they'll be taking it pretty hard. He worked on the night shift, so I'll pray for those people. Father, I come to you asking that you give the minds that are grieving over this death some peace. I know whenever this stuff happens, people don't really know how to arrive at any answer that is something that satisfies. So Lord, we ask that you come in and cleanse these hearts, help these people to overcome this obstacle and trying to understand this so that it doesn't bewilder them and take them down this path of despair. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. And amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for putting peace in their hearts. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, bear with me because I have a bunch of things to share. praise reports and all. First of all, we had prayed for my mom. She had a biopsy done on this goiter on her thyroid. It came back negative. And my dad was long story short, he was supposed to have had, my mom thought he was supposed to have had an appointment on the 6th, the Tuesday a week ago to have cataract surgery. But that didn't happen. And so it was a mix up. And so he has scheduled appointment towards the end of the month for a consultation for that. And both of them are answers to prayer, because I've been asking the Lord to preserve my family, that, you know, especially in the respect of not having to have surgeries until the Lord, you know, brings this great restoration that we're waiting for. And then I think I mentioned here that my daughter-in-law Brooke's grandfather was, he had a heart procedure and it went well, but it didn't go, they wanted to do another procedure and he didn't want to, so they sent him home with hospice and Brooke's brother got in just in time to see his grandfather before he passed away. And I asked the Lord the next morning for a word for him. And it's funny, I was saying to my mom, I said, I really don't believe he's saved. I said, but anyway, so, and I said, you know, I'm just praying that, I'm praying that the Lord just speaks to his heart. And I said, if the Lord can appear in dreams or appear to Muslims and they repent and believe in the Lord, he certainly can do this for him too. And so anyway, it's not like that. I think he, I don't think he's totally unchurched or anything like that from what Brooke was telling me. But anyway, so I was saying that to my mom, and I even prayed, because he didn't want to die in the hospital. He wanted to go home and die at home with the family around him and all. And I said, Lord, I ask you to do that for him. Before he goes home, I ask you to speak to him before he gets the distractions of all the family and everything speaking to him, you know. So anyway, Brooke said that he had said that he wasn't afraid to die, that he was ready and all. And but anyway, so I asked the Lord for a word the next morning after she had told me that he passed away. And I was just like, oh, wow, Lord, you're so cool, because these verses are so spot on. And it's Matthew 16, verse 17 is the specific verse that I got. I don't remember exactly where I landed in that verse, but I'm going to go back to 15. And it says, he says unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord. And then it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. The Lord was speaking to him. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. He's with the Lord. I was like, I told my mom about that. I told, read her those verses, because I flipped open my Bible and put my finger down. And I said, isn't that so cool how the Lord will, you know, I said, he gave me a verse according to what I was telling you and believing for him. And I was just like, wow. So later she says to me, she says, how do you do that? You know, she wanted to know how I flipped open my Bible and put my finger down, you know, my process of it. And I told her a couple different ways I do it sometimes and whatever, but it was so cool. And I'm like, Lord, you're so awesome. And I even shared with Brooke about it, except I didn't give all the details, because I didn't want her, I was careful on how I shared it with her. And she was encouraged by that too. And so and then lastly, the enemy's been for a while now hitting me with just being really tired and weak, and by the after dinner time, I just like I'm just totally wiped out. And it's like lots of times I just have to lay down and take a nap, and sometimes it's a couple hours, and that's not normal for me. And I've been fighting this and battling it and everything. So yesterday morning, morning prayer meeting, I asked for prayer and all. And last night I didn't feel like that after dinner, and then you know I got up this morning and felt pretty good and felt full of strength and energy through today, and did you know, more than what I normally do. And I didn't feel wiped out after dinner or anything like the enemy had been doing to me. And I just praise and thank the Lord. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the victory.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hi, Marissa. Good to have you. How are you? Where are you from? What's your story?
Hi, everybody. I'm happy to be here. I live in Florida. I'm Geneva's best friend, and I know Isaac and Mariana and Justin and Lacey back in Kentucky. And I'm here now for school, but I'm going to be moving back up to Kentucky for a job with my husband.
Okay, awesome. Well, glad to have you.
Thank you.
This is a permanent place for you.
Definitely. I've been listening to you guys for a couple years with Geneva, and I've grown so much with it and been able to help a lot of my family with it, because a lot of them aren't really believers, but I'm believing for them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe with you, girl. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Dirk and Paula got the electricity back. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, you know that free electricity coming. Free electricity is on the way. Glory to God. It is. Believe me. All right, David or Alina or Abigail or Adelina. Go ahead on.
It's me. Is it okay for sure a dream I had a couple nights ago?
Well, sure.
I didn't really get a clear verse about it, but in the dream, there were a group of people in a house, and I noticed a big snake in another room, and I turned to everybody. I was like, guys, there's a big snake in the other room. And they're like, if it comes after you, get a big knife and kill it. I was like, all right. So I started walking, and the snake jumped at me and missed me by a little bit. And I pick up a knife, and when I went to kill it, I sliced it in half and realized it was a mechanical snake. And when I destroyed it, I was like, guys, they're going to be after us. So we started locking down the house, and we all started getting scared to know what happened, because I realized I knew who they were coming after us. And then while we were shutting everything down, I was like, guys, only God could help us at this point. Only he could bring us out. And that's when I woke up. And I didn't really understand it fully. And I wanted to know if you guys had any opinions about that.
Okay. Angelica says, sword of the spirit is the knife. Mechanical snake is a planned attack. Could be a planned attack. All right. Anybody else got anything on David's dream there. I can tell you this, it could be witchcraft. And you, of course, you knock that down with the word of God, you know. We've been having a lot of that around here. So, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
Wouldn't the lockdown be like bind and loose, you know? I'm not sure. I'm just guessing.
What was the lockdown? I guess I missed that part.
Well, he said that he was going to lock down the house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can bind it. There you go. That's good, Andrew. There's a binding. All right. Did you have something, Pat? Go ahead. Yes, I see.
I think the thing that I thought of when he said, when he sliced it and it was a mechanical snake, I guess the first thing I was thinking is technology.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And I don't have any other thoughts, you know, related to that, but I know that, you know, the television, the constant, you know, focus on our cell phones and this whole thing, and you know, this the world is going to use that whole process one day. Well, the world is using it right now, but it will be more specific for tracking people and that sort of thing one day. But anyway, that was kind of the first thing I thought when he said that.
Okay, go ahead, Julie. Get right to you, Missy.
Well, one of the first thoughts I had, David, was you work as a mechanic, and I just wondered if maybe it was an attack against you at work, or and I just like witchcraft, that kind of thing. I think it's something we need to pray against for you. I remember I've only had one dream that I can remember it was about a snake, and it was going right for my jugular. So, you know, the body prayed for me at that time, prayed against any, you know, attacks on my life, on my body, et cetera. So I don't know if it's, you know, if that rings true to you about a work situation or anything like that, but people at work, maybe faction, slander, discord, you know, at work where you're at, maybe that's something we can pray about. Protection at work for you. Now, that's what was coming to my mind.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
After thinking about it, what came to me is another man-made poisonous, per se, like COVID thing or whatever. You know, that's going to bring on a lockdown, because he said about locking down the house or whatever. You know, there's some things coming to me after some people's other people brought out some things, and that's, you know, spraying in the air. You know, it's like Eve's dream, the little snakes coming down, you know, out of the air. Remember Eve's dream? About that, spraying in the air. So a man-made thing, mechanical. So.
Amen. What really came to my mind is whatever the attack is, and it could be, you use offensive, God's offensive weapons, which is the word of God, to cast it down, and apparently you were successful because it missed you, right? And if it missed you, you locked down, and so now you're going into your warfare by binding and loosing. That's kind of what I was thinking there. Go ahead, Julie.
David, didn't you say at the end there that that something to the effect of, you know, it's after you, after all that was done, he said, only God can help you. And if that was the case, and it's like, I think after you do everything you know to do to protect, you know, get rid of any sin, get rid of anything the Lord may be showing you, and locking down your house and praying against stuff, and with the body here and stuff, I think it's just a matter of only God can help. It's like, you just got to rest and let him take care of it.
Just do your spiritual warfare, offensive spiritual warfare, putting on your armor. Amen. I believe it's a good dream, actually. Marilyn, what do you think? Put you on the spot,
girl. What came to me there at the very end is just a stand in faith that, you know, you've done everything. I agree with the things that have been brought up. The one thing that, you know, did come to me also is if it is what Julie spoke about, it being related to your work, I'd like to pray against any, we pray against faction, we bind it up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Any spirits of witchcraft, but also jealousy. You have shared, David, that the Lord has blessed you on your job, that you've been getting your jobs done. He's been giving you the wisdom, the skill, the strength to, that your performance has been really well, that you've gotten your work done in less than the allotted time. And I do come against any spirits of jealousy there in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And I believe the Lord's just going to prosper you there at your job, and showing you favor in the eyes of management. And Lord, I just, we pray a hedge of protection around David and his family. And we thank you, Lord, that angels are there driving the darkness out of them and away from them. And thank you, Lord, for this warning dream. And thank you that, you know, for the good work you're doing there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I'd like to pray in addition to what Marilyn prayed. And Father, we just pray your total protection on David and where he works. And we bind and cast down all spirits of backbiting and malice and hatred, faction, speaking against, causing division and painting, you know, lying about David and trying to cause any kind of friction there and gossip and that kind of thing, slander against him in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray pray against all accidents, as Shunil put in there. And amen, Lord, we do speak all confusion and division into the midst of the enemies and any groups, any cliques that are there that would try to just turn things up, to stir things up in a negative way in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you give David discernment and you give him wisdom, continue to give him great grace there. And he's find great favor with his boss and other employees, and let David have continue to be a good witness for you there, Lord. He cannot take, and he knows he can't take any credit for all this, Lord, but he can point to you, Jesus, and that you'll give him the words to speak when anyone asks of him, you know, why, you know, why all this, you know, because it's not him, and he knows it. And we just thank you, Lord, for the grace and humility you've given David and the mighty man of godly man that you're creating in him, and an example there around those who work with him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Did you have your hand up, Dave, or did you just wave? Okay. Okay. All right, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up my friend Torbjorn again. We've been praying for him a couple of times, and the first time it was he's in the hospital. He had I don't know what to say. I thought it was a stroke, but apparently not. But it was some aneurysm, the brain or something like that. The best I can describe it in English. So I asked you guys to pray in agreement with me, and we did. And the next day, he was off. His wife, he hadn't been off this respirator ventilator, couldn't breathe on his own. And the next day, she told me that now he was off that. And then we prayed last week because he was still not remembering things and so on, and didn't quite know, didn't ask about his his wife and others around him and so on. So we prayed, and lo and behold, the next day she messaged me, and now he was like normal again to talk to. So I talked to her today again, and it's still with the balance and everything. They don't know when he will get home, and it will be training and so on there in the hospital before they can send him home. But, you know, every time we pray, I'm not saying necessarily it must be us, because she said others were praying too. And I know that she, his wife, and Torbjorn, they're not believers, not yet, but I believe they will be. I'm working on it. The Lord is working on it. But I do believe our prayers are helping, and just wanted to give you an update there.
Amen. I'll just give all the glory to you, Lord, because it's you, it's not the doctors, and I praise you for it, Father. For this man. And I praise you, Father, that you are bringing him in and his family in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for touching him. Because when you touch somebody, oh my gracious, it's awesome. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name. Amen, Mike. That's a good report.
Amen.
All right. Go ahead, Lana.
Hey, I just wanted to lift up a family in prayer. We have had a new family come to town and move a couple homes down from ours. And they've got this sweet little girl who's about the age of our boys. And they've had such a great time playing together the few times we've been able to get out and run into them on the street. But I had a chance to talk to them and get to know them a little bit better, both my husband and I. And They haven't been in America very long. They are Russian speaking, and they moved to our town with absolutely no family, no connections here. They moved for the job's sake, and they've been so kind and nice to us, and we've tried to do the same in return, and they've invited us to dinner for their daughter's birthday in a few weeks. And it's just my thought and prayer that the Lord uses to reveal himself to them. They are believers and they're or Christians, and they have started attending a local Pentecostal church just for the sake of attending, is what she says. They haven't really come to any conclusions since they're so new, but my heart really goes out to them. They seem like very sweet people and very eager to get to know the community around them. And once again, my desire is for the Lord to be a light and to reveal himself to them and to use us in any way he deems necessary to bring their family into true salvation. So Father God, I lift up Anna and Andre and their precious daughter, Lisa. Father God, I pray blessing upon their family. I pray, Father God, that you use us in this new friendship that we have found with them to bring your light, your truth into their home. Father God, give us the grace to be kind, Father God, with them and understanding, Father God, and ultimately just to bring Christ into their view, Father God, Christ as they've never known him before. We ache, Father God, to be able to reach out to those in our community and to bring truth to them. And so many are jaded by the church system that they don't really see much. And I know it's because they have a veil in front of their eyes. So Father God, I praise you for everything that you're doing through us, Father God. And I believe, Father God, that you're going to continue and increase these works, Father God, your works through Jesus Christ, Father God, to those that we come in contact with, to those lives that you bring us into, Father God. So I praise you and I thank you. And I ask that you put more on our hearts, Father God, so that we may know your mighty will for our family and those around us, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for the victory. For, I forget, what did you say the name was? Anna and Andre?
Yes.
Okay. For Anna and Andre and their family, Lord, we just thank you that they're going to come into the truth of the gospel because of the wisdom and the patience of Lana and Phil. Father, we just praise you for it because of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe it. All right. Yes, Lord, we thank you for the victory up there in misery. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Somebody needs to get a smile on their face in this fellowship. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, y'all look like a bunch of old prunes. Come on now. All right, Dirk, go ahead, brother.
I just want to ask for prayer for friends of us, a friend of theirs. They let us know that he was in an accident over the weekend, and it's very critical. He's in ICU at the moment. Not exactly sure what happened. A lot of brain damage as well as lung damage. So it will be great if you can pray with us for him. His name is Gray and his wife's name is Heather. And I'm sure they are believers.
Mm. Yeah. Did you say Greg and Edith?
Gray and Heather.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. Okay, you want to pray and we'll believe with you and we can follow behind you or what?
Okay, that will be perfect. Thank you. Father, I thank you that we can lift up Gray and Heather to you. And Lord, I thank you that we can just pray your health over Gray and every part of his body that got damaged during that accident. Father, we can see that that healing that comes over it and full restoration for him. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for that through the stripes of Jesus that Gray is healed and fully recovered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we hook our faith up with Dirk and Paul, and we believe, Lord, that Gray and Heather are healed. And not only are they healed, Lord, if they're not in the kingdom, we ask that you grant repentance to them and bring them in, Lord, in a mighty glorified way, because I ask, Lord, that you send your angels up there to minister to right now, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you reveal to him that the healing that is going to take place in his body is because of the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And we praise you, Father, that you're doing that for him right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. We're going to see a mighty man of God come out of there praising you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Just want to pray down all curses, word curses that have been prayed, spoken over, over Gray. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty over everything. You dwell outside of time. And we just take authority over any word curses that have been spoken over him for brain damage or excessive damage to his lungs, et cetera, any other internal organs or damage to his body. We break those curses and we command healing to his brain. There's not any swelling or water or any damage whatsoever to his brain, his lungs, and any other part of his body, Lord, that he created imperfectly. You know exactly how to mend him. And Lord, we praise you for doing a quick work there, Lord, that will just astound all the medical profession. Father, we lift him up to the throne of grace and we pray the blood of Jesus over him. He is one of your your children, Father, and we put our faith together for his complete healing and quick recovery in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. He's going to be home soon. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for this mighty, wonderful thing that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, my. I feel we got success there. That's going to be an awesome testimony. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Lord. All right, come on now. God's doing something here. He's doing something. Glory to God. Yeah, Greg, go ahead, brother.
I've got a couple of things, and I'll deal with them one at a time. First of all, look, an aspect of a dream I had just the other day. I won't get into the details of the dream right now, actually, but one of the parts of it, my eldest daughter passed away, and the second part was a funeral. Now, as I say, I'm not going to go and explain the dream, and I was just typing it up because it actually does have some aspects that you know, we in UBM would be interested in, and I'll submit that in writing. But I was, as I say, I was writing it up, and I thought, no, I'm not seeing this as prophetic, and I do not want my eldest daughter to pass away, not without, you know, fulfilling all her purposes that God has for her and being in the right place with him. And at the moment, she is not. I won't go into all that. But anyway, I was just praying over that aspect of it and saying, Lord, I don't want that to happen. And I'm not in any way taking that the dream is, you know, foretelling what will happen. It's just, no, I've got to ponder a little bit more. So look, let me just pray for her, and I'll take any agreement I get for her, because she's my little girl. Lord, I just, you know, in company with this fellowship, lift up my daughter Case to you. Lord, from the moment I saw her until now, she is precious to me, and I am so grateful that you chose me to be her father. And Lord, I know that role is not over yet, in spite of her, not talking to me, and hasn't done for a few years. Lord, I was a witness at her. Well, I was there at a conception. I was there at a birth. I was there when she basically, to me, out of the blue, wanted to ask you into her life and did so. I was there at her baptism as well, Lord, and in fact, I conducted it. So I just want to declare and just say, Lord, perfect that which concerns me, and she very much does concern me. And also, Lord, you are the finisher of faith, and that faith that began in her, finish that. Lord, I don't want her to be taken from me until such time as it is perfect in your intentions for her. Anyway, Lord, as I have often done, I just want to carry her up before your throne and leave her, not leave her, but, you know, put her in your care. And thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Lord. You know, Lord, daughters are precious in us, fathers. They are so precious. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to answer his prayers, and our faith is going to hook with his. And Father, we thank you that his daughter is saved, healed, delivered, whatever it is, and brought back to be a blessing to everybody around her, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Without knowing any much of the details of the dream, basically, you didn't really share much other than just what you did. What first came to me was, she's your firstborn, which represents firstborn of the flesh, died, which is your old man. represents your old man. So that's just a thought. So, which that's a really good thing, because your old man is dead by faith, right? Yep. So.
Yeah. Yeah, look the reason I prefer to type the dream up and put it up, it does involve UBM people were in it, and it involves one of our sort of central persons that we pray for. A man who is not my president, by the way. But as I say, I prefer to type it up. But thank you for that. As I say, that was an aspect in it. And if you get to read it, or if, you know, it's appropriate, I should speak about it, then I will, you know, at the appropriate time. The second thing, which is kind of, it's also big. And for those who don't know, and I won't go into the details, this because I'll be here a long time, but for many years, I was put through, oh my goodness, all sorts of courts. And as an individual who is not trained in law, but, you know, look, I'm reasonably educated. I dealt with it fairly well, but in our courts and in our processes of, you know, some of this involved my works. Anyway, so if I go into details, I'll be a long time. We really are stepping into a play, which you don't know it's a play, and we don't get a copy of the script. And so we get, you know, we can get bounced around from pillar to post in there. Anyway, I've learned that over many years. And, you know, and I was for quite some time without a home in all that process. But, you know, I grew tremendously. But this is the thing I want to just get prayer for. I'm in a house now. I have a place of my own, at least, you know, and that's going to be a bit questionable in a couple of months' time, but I'm not worried about it at this point of time. The when I got this place, one of the things that concerned me was, I'm absolutely delighted in it, but that aspect of the balance of justice wasn't balanced, you know. And I was, you know, I remember saying to the Lord, you know, it was just something that this, you know, it's not right, because there were things that were done to me that were just terrible, you know. And that, you know, all in all, they wanted me dead. People wanted me dead, and, you know, and me to take my own life. And it very, very nearly happened. Very nearly happened. But in the last couple of months, or last couple of, it's probably more weeks, I have been exposed, I suppose, to some aspects of the whole world process, and part of that involves the whole straw man concept, and I'm not going to go into that if you don't know about it. If you do, you know what I'm talking about. And the possibility of noticing, and that's, I use, it's capital N noticing, people over some things they have done that are unlawful in a way that doesn't pose any risk at all to me. And puts the onus back on them. As I say, it's stuff that I've, I guess, been shown. And the interesting thing when I talk to God about it, it's a way of possibly balancing up that lack of that injustice that occurred all over the place. It was just all over the place. And every time I talk to God about it, one could certainly go down a whole tangent with this stuff, and I don't want to do that, but He keeps showing me that, yes, this is the world system that's, you know, that's being danced around with, and we've been sucked into it in ways that we, you know, don't even understand, and they deal with us as a dead entity or corporation. But there are ways to deal with it, basically using an aspect of law called equity. It doesn't involve going to courts or dealing with the whole dance that they have. And as I say, every time I look at it, I speak to the Lord, and I keep getting back this, like, yes, Greg, this is what's going on. Some of the, you know, the world system. And anyway, this is what I want. And I'm probably not making a whole lot of sense to some, but it surprised me that he keeps affirming me with certain scriptures, or affirming the direction of doing notices to people asking for their, it's actually putting, a responsibility on them to explain their right to do the things they do, which they, you know, under legislation, which they won't be able to do, which then puts them in some sort of obligation to remedy the situation. And enough said on that. But as I say, every time I pray about it, and I'm getting verses that say, "Yes, go ahead with this." This is okay. That's enough explanation. But this is all I wanted prayer about is just for the Lord's hand to be on anything I do, and that if He's going, you know, I don't want any restoration other than what He delivers to me. I don't want to get people back. I'm not out to you know, punish them for what they did or whatever the case may be, because I've gone through the whole forgiveness process in depth. I'm not out to destroy anybody, but just to balance the scale so I can have a life back again, if that makes sense.
Amen. Yes, it does. I think I know what you're talking about in a general sense. Well, Lord, we lift up Greg to you right now. And Lord, it looks like you are giving him wisdom. But I ask that you give him supernatural wisdom. And not only that, Lord, the words to say. And give him favor, Lord, with whatever he has to deal with. And Lord, we thank you for success so that other people would have an avenue of freedom. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Angelica, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for Greg.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if the judicial system or so-called judicial system is the same over there as here, but I will pray. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much, Father God. Lord, you're sovereign over everything, Lord God. You're sovereign over the will of a man. You're sovereign over the people. In the highest courts, Lord God, you're sovereign, Lord God, over the bailiff, Lord God, over the lawyers, Lord God. Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. You don't care how much wisdom, Lord God, anyone has, Lord God. When it comes to your elect, Father God, you do all things for their sake, Father. So I just thank you, Father God, that the angel, I just loose the angels right now to go in to that courtroom or meeting area, Father God. We bind the demonic spirits, Father God. We bind every attack from the enemy, Father God. No weapon formed against Greg shall prosper, Father God.
Amen.
Lord God, every accusation against him, Father God, shall not stand, Father God. We cast that down in Jesus' name, Lord God. And Lord, I have been in that situation, Father God, where the absolute impossible, Father God, happened to me. And yet you gave me the grace to stand and believe, Father God, that so long as I told the truth and I feared not man and I feared not the consequence, Father God, that you would fight for me, Father God. So I thank you for that boldness in Greg that he has, Father God, to confess you, Father God, to speak the truth, Father God, and that you will be with him, Father God. You will be with his words. He doesn't have to think about what he's going to say. You're going to give it to him, Father God. And I thank you for great favor, Father God, with you said, Father God, when a man's ways please you, Father God, that you, Father God, will make his enemies at peace with him, Father. And so I thank you, the judge and the lawyers and any person, Father God, is now at peace with Greg, Father God, and that he would not suffer loss, Father God, that is not according to your will, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just a little addition that he would regain more than he lost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. I believe that with Angelica and everybody here. Go ahead, Julie.
Amen. And just as Michael is saying, more, it's like, Lord, double all that has been stolen or lost. And that you would open up every door, direct every step for Greg, go before him, give him just the courage he needs, the peace that leads him, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And help him to rest in you about this. Lord, you're his strength. You're his savior, his confidence, the rock, refuge, fortress. You are everything. So we give you praise and thanks, Lord, and we look forward to the good report. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. We believe in the victory for Greg. Go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, look, I just want to say thank you. All I want to, you know, do is, one, be accountable. And also be honorable in how I deal with this.
Amen.
So I'm submitting myself to, but you know, if I'm going the wrong way, someone tell me.
Oh, if the Lord told you to do it, go for it. Amen. We believe you. All right, Pat.
I have to say, I'm not real clear on what you're doing, Greg, or what you're saying, but I do want to say I agree with every prayer that has been prayed, and I the thought that was coming to me, because I'm not really able to pick up the pieces of what you're laying down here, but I have to tell kind of a story about what the Lord kind of did in my life, and it kind of turned things tables on me in a way to a tremendous benefit. And that was when, you know, we talk about forgiving people, and you are in a prime environment for, you know, for being in that potential type of thing. I'm thinking because of the offenses that have been laid upon you, so to speak. And the interesting thing about it, when the Lord took me through a forgiveness type of process, he didn't so much have me forgive others, which is kind of the normal process, I think, in the scriptures, to forgive others for how people have offended me, etc. But he kind of turned the tables on me and had me start to search my heart in a very systematic way of how I have offended others. And it kind of took me by surprise, but I decided to go ahead and do it. And it was a very, very humbling process, because just writing the stuff down and starting to kind of get a picture of what's inside of me that could have offended people. And this was a long process, probably a good six months of nothing but solid, you know. I wrote this thing down, and now I have to contact that person and try to, you know, confess, you know, my offensive behavior, etc., and ask them to forgive me. And a lot of these people, of course, weren't Christians. And of course, you have to be very sensitive as to, you know, that process, obviously. But I will tell you that the Lord totally broke my heart of what was in me that I had never seen before, that was so offensive to other people. And it was like I could see from their eyes, starting to see from their eyes just how much that hurt. You know, that my insensitive, my constant thinking about myself or for myself in my own way. Every conversation is based upon my, you know, think about myself and how, you know, what I can get out of it or whatever. I don't know. It just totally, the Lord just totally turned the tables on me. And I didn't have time to go through a forgive others process, because I was too busy asking people to forgive me for me. And it's like he took me through that step before he, but the thing I wanted to say is that he so freed up my spirit that I was able, I guess, to view people in such a way that it was hard for me to be unforgiving toward a person. It was hard for me to get angry at or what people, just kind of because of I'd been there and I know how they feel, you know. So I don't know that I just toss that out, you know, as a thing. I don't know that it applies to your situation. All I know is that that's kind of what the Lord kind of flipped me on when I was listening to what you're saying. Because the logistics of the legal system, again, are correct. But again, I just don't know what the background is there or whatever. But anyway, I just tossed that out for food for thought.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat. I could go into a lot of detail this. I have like 40 to 50 big files of papers of sequential documents and stuff. I've also, but I won't. It's a huge story. But yeah, look, you know, in all the processes that I have been through, anyway, but I'm familiar with what you're talking about, and I've been through that sort of stuff myself. I am, without trying to trivialize it, and some of it was quite deep, and without trying to make it sound like I'm skiting, but you know, in times of periods of prayer and fasting, where I've submitted myself to God, and you know, I've said to Him, look, if there's anything that I need to do or deal with, and so that process I've gone through with Him, and also, you know, in that same depth of humbling myself, gone through and forgiven every one of everything, you know, before the throne of God. And I view forgiveness this way, just so that everyone knows, it's because people do wrong us. You know, there's no two ways about it. People, you know, from time to time, they do wrong us and they do owe us, but they also don't necessarily have the ability to make right. Like if someone was to abuse, you know, sexually abuse a child, you know, does that child, at least as a grown-up, need to forgive that person? Yes, they do. That doesn't mean that what was done to them was right, or it's okay, or we just forget about it, or that we don't have boundaries to prevent it ever happening again. But what it does mean, and this is how I see it, and it might be an accountant point of view, but it's like these people owe us, but we also have a debt to Jesus, huge, which we can never, ever, ever repay, and He's never going to ask us to. So I view forgiveness this way, is whatever someone may owe me, I then put it to the account of what I owe Jesus. And then it becomes between Jesus and them. And then I can pray for their salvation, etc. And He can deal with them. And I'm out of the picture. And I can't be scarred or burned by it. It doesn't necessarily mean what they did was right. It doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have a debt. But that's between them and Jesus now. So yes, okay, that's enough of me pontificating or preaching or whatever else, but as I say, I just wanted to make sure that in the process of what I'm dealing with, I'm being accountable and being honourable. And thank you for everyone's input, yours included, Pat. I don't want to hold the floor anymore.
Thank you, Lord. No, that's good. Thank you, Pat. Greg. All right, anyone else? Okay. What would y'all like to speak about? Has anybody got a question about anything? Yeah, Dave.
I would say this kind of brings up a topic, because we're looking at past things in our lives, and Pat's bringing them up, and so is Greg. Difficult things that they've went through, and we've all had to go through difficult things. And everybody's learning that, you know, you can't live in the past. You shouldn't be living in the past. If you're living in the past, it's because you're always thinking about the past and you're not letting it go. And if you're not letting it go, how are you going to grow? That's going to be a hindrance to your life in Christ. I think that'd be a topic that we should probably look at a little bit, because if you're going to move forward in this kingdom, you can't keep on looking back. Does anybody else want to talk on that?
Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Well, I don't want to hog the floor or anything, but what you're saying, Dave, is that, I mean, in terms of like unforgiveness, obviously unforgiveness works both ways. It's I could be not forgiving somebody, or somebody could not be forgiving me that I'm aware of. And it's that envelope, that it's that thing of unforgiveness there that's always there in the mind. And it keeps you like an anchor tied to that thing. And when you're saying that you can't, we have to be looking forward, and we in our heart and spirit can be looking forward. I was looking for Jesus. That's all there was to it. I was full speed ahead, you know, steady by jerks. And those jerks were these things in my past that I keep looking back on. I keep thinking about every once in a while type of thing. So I think what you're saying is absolutely right. We can't really be free to blaze ahead in Christ. And that's why he takes us through these discipleship things to uncover these and break up that fallow ground, so to speak, go back and shake the trees. He wants us to go back and look at those things and address them properly, like Greg is saying, and that was a tremendous benefit to me, was that forgiveness is not forgetting about something. It's not just saying, well, oh, okay, I forgive him, I put it on, forget it, just put it back there. No, it's transferring that offense over into the hands of the judge of the whole earth, the only judge that can judge that situation properly and actually make justice or balance those scales. He's the only one that can do that. And when we take that offense and we forgive that person and put that back and give it right to the judge, to Jesus, and let him take that, give him the right, his right to bring about that thing in that person's life and restore that relationship, whatever needs to happen, we leave it up to him. And it frees us, we're free. And that was an excellent point that Greg brought up. But likewise, when we bring that person in and confess our wrongness, it allows that person to be to deal with that unforgiveness as well. They can be holding this grudge against us, and you want to free them up, if at all possible, as well, and free their minds so that they can look towards Jesus. And I've seen the way God uses that, and it's just, I know that when I went back to people to confess my offensive behavior in certain things, I was never rejected one time. I always thought I would be. I always thought they'd look at me and say, "You are stinking nuts, man. You got you need to get out of here." Not one time did that ever happen to me. It totally shattered whatever that was that was between us. And it was, and I always received forgiveness for that. And it just, I mean, it's really touches me now to even talk about it, but it's such a powerful benefit that the Lord gives us: forgiveness, freedom, release, peace with God. So I don't know, I just praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, Geneva, go ahead.
So I don't want to teach, you know, but what I wanted to share was Isaac, you know, with everything I'm going through, Isaac sent me something, and it was really true. Basically, you know, if Satan can't get you with the curse, it can't get you to claim, you know, these symptoms and that you got this and that and these sicknesses. And I'm saying this because of what I'm going through. Well, the next thing he's going to try is condemnation. And so I've been, you know, he's been throwing things at me like, well, you did this in your past, and remember when you did this, and things of that sort. And that's where I have to keep being like, no, Lord, you forgave me of all that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm set free. You know, you're not keeping a record of my wrongs. Like, thank you, Lord, that I can move on. And if he can't get you with condemnation, then he's going to try with bitterness and unforgiveness. I had things thrown at me about things with Morgan's family that we've dealt with in our past. And it was like the littlest thing. And the next thing I know, like, it'd come to my mind, I'd start getting real like frustrated, and I could start just, and it's just like one little thought goes to another one. And then I'd have to stop myself. I'd be like, no, like, once again, just another attack from Satan, you know? And it's like, he's going to keep on trying. And we just got to hold firm to that word. And I just wanted to say, like, I guess what you said, Dave, made me think about that. But, you know, the Lord has forgiven me and I'm set free. And when he showed me all those things, like through those dreams that I had, and they were so straightforward, each dream was, it was just like, boom, boom, boom. Like, I know, like, when I said those prayers and I asked the Lord to forgive me, I believe it. And that's it. It's gone. You know, the Lord delivered me and he forgave me. And, anyways, I just wanted to say that.
Amen. All right. That's good. Thank you, Geneva. Go ahead, Sue or Judy.
Yeah, when you're all talking about these things of the past, it made me think about, I just had this vision in my mind about someone trying to run a race with a ball on chain. And all these things of the past just are like a heavy weight. We can't run the race if we got this heavy weight on us that we're not supposed to have. We won't win the race very well, or it'll take us a long time. It kind of reminds me too of battling with rejection for years. I mean, years, as old as I am. So, but the Lord delivered me from that. So thank the Lord that burden is gone. You know, it's like getting delivered is really, really, I mean, the enemy tries to rear up his ugly head. And, you know, sometimes there's a battle, but it's not like it was before. So it's not that heavy weight. You know, we're not to carry any sin or heavy weight that would keep us from running the race. So that's what I was thinking of. That vision came to me with just this guy trying to run the race with this ball and chain. Heavy.
Amen. All right, Barbara, go ahead.
I was reminded of a scripture. I'm not sure where it's at, but when I was dwelling back in my past a lot, you know, some heartache and different things, just pertaining to personal stuff and things I'd wish I could go back and change. The Lord reminded me of the scripture where Jesus said, him who having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom. And that really like hit me, you know. We really can't live in the past. We can't stay back there because, you know, like Sue and others were saying, we're never going to move forward. And I'm not sure where that scripture's at. Is that in John or Matthew? But I remember Jesus saying that, and I thought that was a serious word. You know, we can't dwell in the past at all. You know, that's what he showed me. That's all.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Luke 9. Yeah, Luke 9:62. But Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, guys. Good to see y'all. I was just thinking, it's a really good point that everybody decided to bring up and Dave was talking about. And I guess the thing that runs through my mind here is how can you manifest Christ and become in his image when you keep resurrecting your old man or your own self? We'll say Isaac, for instance. I'm thinking on the past and my mistakes. Well, that's essentially what you're doing. You're essentially bringing back to life. So how can you manifest Christ? Because we've been crucified of Christ. And it's no longer I live, but Christ that liveth in me. And this life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith. I don't know. It's just a really good point. Yeah, I think it's a really good topic, too. I just want to share that.
Okay. That's a good thought. Go ahead, Angelica.
I would actually like prayer for myself concerning this, because I actually... I was listening to a teaching and this scripture came up and I was like, oh yeah, like this is really my problem here. 2 Peter 1:9, it says, but whosoever does not have them, talking about the promises, is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. And I think that's a place where the enemy has really hit me, is just like forgetting just the very basic foundation of salvation is just having been cleansed from all of my sin, that, you know, that Jesus Christ died for me and he took those away from me at the cross, you know, because had I remembered that, then I wouldn't have believed all this condemnation. And, you know, because if I'm forgiven, then I can't be condemned, because who condemns me? If God is for me, who can be against me? And I've really forgotten that. But it's more so than just something. It's been a long time. And I really, it just kind of like that just joy of accepting the good news that God has taken away your sins. And there's something really beautiful about that, that I've just forgotten, that I would like for the Lord to restore to me, just the simplicity of that. And I'd like prayer for that. If anybody would like to pray for me, just that the Lord would restore my spiritual sight and just the joy of my salvation and that kind of thing.
Okay, well, Lord, you heard her. We just believe with her, Lord, and it is already done in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that from this point on, she's going to be looking forward to you, Lord, to the resurrection power that you have for her, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord, for doing that for Angelica and putting in her peace and rest that she needs to reside in. And Father, we thank you that you've already done it for her. In the name of Jesus. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I'd like to pray. Father, thank you for Angelica. Thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters, because I know the enemy attacks us all. I've been there too, with all the things of our past. And Father, I ask that you would give us all discernment, wisdom from above, knowledge of your word, and how to apply it to our circumstances when the devil comes with all kinds of stuff from our past, that we can remember, Lord Jesus, how your blood paid for everything. It's not anything of earthly value. It is perfect, holy power of your blood. This perfect Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the whole world. And we've been redeemed from all of what we used to be. We've been redeemed from our old nature, our old ways. All our sins were taken away, removed. They do not exist anymore. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for a greater discernment, because the enemy is always trying to drag us down so we are not effective for your kingdom in whatever form that may be. And he is always accusing us to ourselves. If he's not accusing someone else to us, he's accusing us to ourselves in some way, shape, or form, and bringing up some memory from our past. Help us to apply the blood to everything, because you paid for everything. Your blood covers us. Your blood cleanses us. Your blood set us free. You loosed us from our sins, Lord. There's no way of paying it back. We could never. We just accept and receive the atonement. We accept and receive your sacrifice. You paid for everything, and you do everything. You work everything for us, Lord. And our part is to believe you, rest in you, and to fight the good fight of the faith. And we can't do it that of ourselves either, Lord. We need your strength. We need your help. We need your mind. We need your heart. We need you to help us remember all these things and to keep the armor on. Help us not fall prey to the wiles of the devil, but to stand strong in your word, and that we are not moved when the enemy comes and the winds and the spirits and all these things and the waters that crash upon this house. We are not moved by any of it. And we thank you, Lord, for doing this work in us that you began, because we can't do it ourselves. Help us to rest in you, believe you, trust you, and rejoice. Oh, praise you, God. Always forget that part. Rejoice in thy salvation, Lord. So restore the rejoicing of our salvation, Lord, that our souls are yours, and we have an inheritance in Christ Jesus that we can't even apprehend at this point, but you gave it to us, and we claim it, and we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. There's a song out called "There Is Power in the Name of Jesus." Y'all just wish you could sing like me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord forevermore. Yeah. Somebody say the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Yeah. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on with it, girl. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I was thinking about God's love today. And he actually showed me something. Knowing everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And that's an agape love, you know. Do you think the Father has a problem with obedience? And it does say by the same apostle, we love because he first loved us, and that's God. God is obedient with what he did with Jesus. And Jesus agreed to do that obedience, that we have this love. He loved us and gave his life for us. So this obedient nature that God has to fulfill those promises for you because of his son's blood. Do you get what I'm saying here? I'm getting that God has a plan here. And God so loved the world And that includes everyone who's heard this love through the cross of Jesus Christ. So if he wants to fulfill that obedient nature of his agape toward us, then what can stop it? You get what I'm saying? Your salvation, this love that he's giving you, is through that chorus of grace that saves through faith, and it's a gift from God. Nothing will make God disobey. Nothing can make God disobey his agape. And that's for you. So it's just the awesome power of God there. You know, there is a reverence and even a bit of fear there, but he's still gonna bring you through with this, because it's his obedience that's going to make it happen. Glory to God. Anyway, that's what he gave me today. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Oh, me. All right, anybody else? Pat says, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calls you who will also do it. Amen.
You know, it's that faith that worketh love. Amen. You got to have faith to work his love, too. The Father.
That's what we're striving for. That's why we look in the mirror and see Jesus in it every morning. We look in the mirror to see Jesus because we want that love of Jesus in our heart. We don't want nothing but Jesus going out the door. Jenny puts 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner or life handed down from your fathers. 1 Peter 1:19, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without spot, even the blood of Christ. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. I got joy down in my heart. Boom! Down in my heart. Boom! Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. I see some of you with the faces drawn plumb to the ground. Said, this guy is nuts. No, just got the joy of the Lord. That's all. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy. Or was you just waving at us? Okay. Whoa. They put a bunch in there. Play the song if you have a minute. Well, what's the matter with me singing it, Angelica? Come on now. I understand your frustration there, Angelica.
Just think Louis Armstrong.
Okay. Well, Dave, go ahead and recite what you was talking about there, and I'll see if I can't find it.
Oh, this is the Ministry of Reconciliation that we have going on here in 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ constrains us. In other words, it holds us back a little bit, because we judge thus, that one died for all, therefore all died. He died for all, that those who live shall no longer live to themselves, but to him for their sakes died and rose again. Therefore, we know no one after the flesh from now on. Even though we know Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the reason why you don't know Christ in the flesh anymore is because he's no longer in one body. He's in everybody's body. All right? So you just can't singleize one person as Christ. you're seeing the whole body as Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, anything that was held against us, that the Lord used to separate us from him, is no longer there. It's been reconciled. There is no longer a barrier there between you and God. There was at one time, but there is no more. It's been reconciled through Christ. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Think about that. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He had the issue, but he's reconciling it through Christ. Not reckoning to them their trespasses or our sins, or our shortcomings, our faults, all our past evil, and having committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are therefore ambassadors on behalf of Christ. And through God, we, entreating by us, we beg you that on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Thank you, Father. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your life that we have in you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Are y'all ready for the world premiere? Okay. Hang on. Give me just a minute here. Okay. It's the only one I could find. Joy, joy, down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. What else you got? I've got the peace that passes understanding down in. Understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Where? Down in the depths of my heart. Where? Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Time for the cookies and Kool-Aid now.
Oh, no, I know. Bring the lemonade out, the cookies. Amen. Oh, my. Okay, let's see what else is smiling so happy. Oh, is that another one? Sela, I didn't know they put it out. Go ahead, Greg.
Sorry, I was just going to, we had a bit of a lull before, and I was just going to ask if, before we go, not necessarily right now, if we could hear, not in blow by blow, but just the testimony of the birth of Abigail. Again, I know it said earlier, but not all of us were here. If David and Alina are still here, they're still here. Yes, they are.
Well, yeah, hold on. Just a sec.
Because you know, it was only what, a day and a bit ago. And there you are, sitting there, you know, with the baby, and you know, well, Alina is, it wasn't as probably as hard for you, David, I suppose. And everything looks fine. Like, there you are, baby's out.
Yeah, it was definitely a different experience, and we definitely saw God's blessing.
Hi, everyone. Honestly, I do want to just praise God. Before I had her, I had two dreams about her. The first one was that I didn't even like notice my labor. And when I woke up, she was right by me, and she had a head full of dark hair and dark eyes, just like she does right now. And my second dream I had of her, I just had a really glorious birth. It was just so smooth, and she came out so fast. And when I was holding her in the dream, I looked and her arms were like kind of hairy. And she also had a head full of dark hair and dark eyes in that dream as well. And I was like, look, she went into David, and she looks just like my husband. She had the hair on her shoulder and arms when she was born, and just exactly like she was in my dream. And it was just so cool. Like, as soon as they put her on me, I literally said, I was like, she looks exactly like she did in my dream. And it's just so cool that the Lord did that for me. He did the same thing with Adelina, actually. I saw what she looked like before she was born, too. So that was really cool. And just, I also just want to praise God. I mean, the birth was, honestly, it was so fast. David was worried the midwife wouldn't even come in time because I was ready to start pushing before they came. But he carried me through it. Some of the contractions, David couldn't be with me for those because he had to be with Addie. And during those contractions, I just prayed and God helped me through them. Some of them I didn't even feel. But yeah, just praise God. He really blessed the whole experience. And I just thank him that I was able to have this home birth, and that he blessed us with the money. Our siblings donated to us, so we were able to have this just beautiful experience. I thank the Lord for it all.
Amen.
He's singing. Like
she's gonna be in the choir. Yep. She may be leading the choir, for goodness sake. Girl, go on with yourself, Abigail. Yeah, she's praising too. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Greg.
I just want to say, David and Alina, thank you for that. And just to hearken back a few months ago when you were kind of all worried and stuff about it, I'm going to, bit of ego coming in here. I told ya, it'd be okay. But no, glory to God, not to me. Absolutely. He does that, and I've seen him do it many times because people pray. Good on you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for an open heaven. Thank you, Lord, that every prayer that we've prayed is answered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Whew. Yeah, he is. He is so good. Glory to God, glory to God. What is it? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Go ahead, Greg.
Just one other thing for both of you as well, because what, in my observation, happens in this, and I have two children, and their birth was pretty quick as well, is that when other mothers come and visit, and they'll tell their war stories, their battle stories about, yeah, my labor went for 3 weeks and all that sort of stuff. You just let them go. And David, you just sit in the background and just let them go. And when they're finished, what you just say is, well, you obviously didn't do it right. And then shut up. And I did that a couple of times myself. They didn't like it.
Amen. Adelina loves her little sister.
Yeah, she does.
Look at her. Oh, she's so sweet.
See if I can get her on the big screen.
Give her a kiss.
Well, what happened?
I see it, Michael.
Okay, is she big?
She's, yeah.
Okay, it's not big on my screen for whatever reason. Amen. Look at Adelina. She's going to be a good big sister. Fresh out the box. Yeah. Amen.
She says, Mama needs help.
Yeah. Said, I'm just the one to do it, too. Look at her kissing her. That a girl. See, that mama's going to be able to do housework while you watch the baby. And that's the way it's supposed to work. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful new creation that you've given David and Alina and us. In Jesus' name, because she's now a part of this family also. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for showing your love to David and Alina, Abigail and Adelina. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for tonight's fellowship. We thank you for the love that has been shown tonight. I mean, anybody could put up with my singing. That's got to be some love in there somewhere. And Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you, Father, that you have answered our prayers and that we do have joy deep down in our heart. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that tomorrow we're going to wake up to a new day, a precious day. And Lord, we thank you for teaching us to put on that coat of armor that you've given us. And Lord, that we utilize that coat of armor against the enemy before he ever gets up. And we thank you, Lord, that we have protection through the word, through the sword of the Spirit. And we praise you, Father, for that. We come against the deep state in the United States and all across this world. We thank you, Lord, for draining that sewer swamp out there. And we praise you for it in every country. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to give the Christians a reprieve for a while, Lord. And we thank you for that too. We thank you, Lord, for the Jubilee that's coming. And the revival, most of all. And that revival, Lord, it's going to bring a lot of our family members and friends in that we've been praying for over these years. And we thank you for it. Lord, I ask and I pray right now that you put great and bold faith in all of us, Lord, to believe in your word that tells us to look forward and to stay looking forward. And we're looking forward to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and all the people around us. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we just praise you for all the work that you're doing in us. You're keeping us on that narrow road, Lord, where the world has no effect on us at all. We have the Psalms 91 Passover. We don't have to worry about a vaccine that's going to kill a bunch of folk, because we have God's vaccine that brings people to life. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you continue the good work in us, and we can that household salvation is near. And I believe it, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We love you. And we thank you for your spirit that leads us and guides us and gives us that overcoming power, Lord. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. All right. Let's see. Good night, everybody. Go ahead, Dominique.
It was just real quick. While I was listening, I checked Regilia. She had posted a Facebook status, and she said that she could taste again. She said she tasted some onions and she was eating. So those prayers are moving in quick. Thank you, guys, amen. And thank you for the agreement. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Good night, y'all.